everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, I have a world down in Riverdale, Texas. Today is August 21st, 2017. It's 8:30, 2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled The Great Physician. Now, it's here. The great physician now is near, the sympathizing Yahshua. He speaks the drooping heart to cheer, but hear the voice of Yahshua. Sweetest note and seraph sound, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Yahshua, blessed Yahshua. All glory to the dying Lamb, and I'll believe in Yahshua. I love the blessed Savior's name, I love the name of Yahshua. Sweetest note and set of song, sweetest name of mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Yahshua, blessed Yahshua. His name dispels my guilt and fear, no other name but Yahshua. Oh, how my soul delights to hear the precious name of Yahshua. Sweetest note and saddest song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Yahshua, blessed Yahshua. And when he comes to bring the crown of life and glory, then by his side we will sit down and tell redemption's story. Sweetest note and set of song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Yahshua, blessed Yahshua. As it was in the days of Noah, part two, we're going to continue on with Brother Johnson's track of 1990. And let's see what all he has to say about this. And then we're going to go to V.T. Hollis and all he has to say about it. There's plenty of information on it. So let's continue today. We're on page two of his track. And it's called The Door of Probation Today. it says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at the midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather unto them that sell and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him unto the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Master, Master, open up unto us. Or Yahshua, Yahshua. They knew who they were talking to. Open up unto us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know ye not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 25:1-13. So, after he gave the parable on the five foolish virgins having missed out, then he says, Watch ye therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, he wasn't talking to the five foolish virgins here now at this point. He was talking to those five wise virgins. He was talking to the five wise now. And that's the reason why for many, many years we've heard it said, Adventists would always say, no man knows the day nor the hour. No man knows the day nor the hour when Yahshua comes. Only the Father knows. Only the Father knows, and even Yahshua don't know. And so, but you know what? I had never seen this before. The wise and the foolish. Is after the foolish came knocking on the door wanting in. This is the door of Noah's Ark, folks. This is the kingdom. The kingdom today, the purified kingdom today represents Noah's Ark. It's not that polluted kingdom that Brother Johnson represented for the Adventists. And so, it is after they come, knocking on his door, the wise had gone in. They were inside the door. The wise were inside the door. So now, Yahshua is telling the wise inside now. He's talking to the wise. That's there in his company. He says, Watch ye therefore. Watch ye therefore. He says, Watch therefore, for you know now the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, what is this talking about? The Yahshua is down there talking to the wise servants. Well, he's already come. If he's standing there talking to them, what's going on here? And then he's telling these wise servants, he says, Now, you watch there, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Okay. Now, at this point, I'm going to go to my Bible, and I'm going to go to Matthew 24 and read to you verses 1 through about 4. And this comes right in here. This comes right in here. And start with verse 1. And Yahshua went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came unto him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Yahshua said unto them, See ye not that all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us when shall these things be? And which shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Yahshua answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear wars and rumors of wars, that see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. So now here are the disciples. Yahshua is in their presence. They've got him. He's already come. But what he's indicating to them that he's going to go away. And then he said, I'm going to come again. So now he's giving these disciples the signs what to look for when he comes. He said, Here's the signs now. He said, For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So the disciples, though, they're hopeful, because they know he's going to go away, and they know that, but they want to know just how quick he's going to come on back. They want to know just how quick he's going to get on back down there. And they want to know, they want to know some signs. They want to know the signs. And so he gave them these signs. And then yet they fell asleep. Yahshua went away, and he didn't come back in their lifetime. He didn't come back a second time like he told them he was going to do. But he did tell them what had to take place here on earth before he comes back. Little did they know it's going to be at least 2,000 years before he comes back. Oh. Verse 9, Matthew 24. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, I want to make a point back to Brother Johnson's tract where I was just left off reading to you. Brother Johnson says the door of probation today open and it's, when it's closed. He shows where it was open to the five wise virgins, but it closed on the five foolish virgins. Because Yahshua had come back a second time, or had he? He came back a second time invisibly in these last days. And the ones that recognize his coming in the prophecies of the book, they communicated with him. And he communicated with them by the Spirit. And that's who we represent. We're the ones that he communicated with when he come back a second time. But Brother Johnson prophesied that he was coming back. And he's going to come back at Passover 2002. He said he's going to be here in person. Brother Johnson thoroughly intended and believed that Yahshua would appear in person. And then when Laura May saw an apparition of him standing at the end of her pew, she dared not turn and look at him. She just saw him out of the corner of her eye, and she was frozen stiff in her pew. But she gave the report that he was there all right, because I saw his apparition in the congregation. So we have plenty of testimony. Brother John said he's going to be here. Lord May says, I saw him. Nobody else saw him, but Lord May. But she gave the testimony, I saw him, and I was frozen stiff. She froze in her pew. And so, I believed it. I believe that he did come, even though I never saw him. But because he was communicating with me with the Spirit, by the Spirit, I knew what was going on. He showed me in the prophecies what was going on. And I believed it. And he guided me. And that's how come we're right here in Liberty Hill, Texas, been separated from Kermit, Texas. That was a very real event that took place there. A prophetic event. And so he came invisibly, but we know that his presence was right here with us every day. By the, through the Spirit. But one day he is going to appear in the person, and everybody's going to be able to see him that are righteous. The wicked are not going to be able to see him, because he's going to appear upon Mount Zion with 144,000, Revelation 14:1. And he's going to appear there. And he's going to be visible in the person. And there's not going to be no wicked there when he appears in the person with them. They're not going to be around where they can look upon his face. They're going to be around, all right. The wicked are going to be around, all right. They're going to be around, all right. But Yahshua is going to appear again camouflage, so to speak, like he did the first time. He came in the form of a human being. He had to be born of a woman of the human nature in order for people to look upon his face. Because if he'd been sent from heaven, like he was in heaven, and wasn't reincarnated and born of the human flesh, people could not have looked upon his face, because he was equal with Yahweh there in heaven, as far as that goes. But the fact that he was clothed and shrouded in human flesh and garments, then everybody could look upon his face. The Pharisees could follow him around and just lambast him all they wanted to. His enemies was there dogging his every step and challenging him, and even took a hold of him physically and beat up on him and did all kinds of bad things, and then took him and hung him on the cross, and then they thrust a spear in his side, and they just, I mean, they deformed him. Yahweh allowed that to happen. But if he had come in a spiritual being straight from heaven, and not been regenerated, reincarnated through the human family, then they couldn't have touched him, because they couldn't have looked upon his face to begin with. So there was no purpose in Yahshua coming to this earth in the form of a deity representing the Father, if he didn't take on the lowly, fallen nature of man. And so that enough is said on that. So as I was saying here, reading from the scriptures here, Matthew 24, verse 10, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Now, this is a sign. Okay, so now before he comes back and appears in the person again, this is a sign. And so what happened down at Kermit when we started the judgment at the house of Yahweh, 2002? The very ones that Catherine and I were the right-hand people to, serving them in everything they called upon us for, faithful servants unto them for 32 years, I mean, right there in their bosom. And as Brother Johnson told me time and again, he said, you and your wife are the only two that I can call on whenever I need anything. He said, all I have to do is pick up the phone. And he says, whatever I call on you for, he said, you do it. Well, that was quite a testimony coming from him. And yet we were the ones that were his enemies, planted in his bosom. And he kicked us out, and so we know the rest of it. He betrayed us. And he betrayed everybody that was under his umbrella. He betrayed everybody that was in his kingdom, because he had the sinful kingdom according to Amos chapter 9. So here in Matthew 24, verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Well, that's what happens starting at Kermit. If they had any love, it certainly waxed cold against it. And so, Brother Johnson, not being able to know where he was at in the stream of time anymore, he was labeled as a false prophet. And so he was raised up then as a false prophet, because he refused to recognize and restore the deity as he was commanded to, and do what he was commanded to. And verse 14, Matthew 24, it says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of the desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and unto them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Now what does it say, but woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days? It's talking about those that are going on with their everyday family lives of trying to survive throughout the day. these are not members of the kingdom. He says, only those that are members of the kingdom are instructed when that time comes. You just pray that ye that your flock be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. So this is a literal physical thing that is going to take place here in these last days. Okay. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world unto this time, no, nor ever shall be. But you're talking about using faith. You're talking about using faith. Catherine and myself and Alan DeLong exercised great faith out there in Kermit when we closed down our place. Alan owned his home. Alan had a good business, making good money in that little town. Yahweh blessed him above and beyond the call of duty. And he thought that he couldn't sell it. And I asked him how much was his business worth. He thought, and he said, well, at least $6,000. I said, well, Yahweh's hand's not short. You need to sell it. You need to sell it this week. He said, there ain't nobody in this town got any money. He said, I just have to walk off from it. All I can do is take my equipment with me. And I don't even have room to do that. And so I said, well, let's pray about it. So I prayed about it. And lo and behold, within the next day or so, a man that used to work for him, just a plain old person, didn't have a dime to his name, living with his grandmother. He didn't even have a family or wife or anything. He's just a plain old hard worker that didn't have a job. And he come walking down, he met Alan out there. He was looking for a job. Alan said, well, he said, I'm getting out of here. I'm leaving here within a week or so. And he said, well, he said, what are you going to do with your business? He said, well, I'm just going to have to walk on it because I can't sell it. And I said, well, how much do you want for it? He says, well, it's worth $6,000. He says, I want to buy it. And he went home to his grandmother, he lived with his grandmother, and she had a savings of money. And he said to her, I want to buy this business and all of his equipment. He said, he's going to walk off and leave it. And she went down to the bank and drew out $6,000 and gave Alan $6,000 cash for his business, just like I told him would happen. So, we still haven't sold our place yet. And the week before we left town, Yahweh gave us a sign, and I stepped into it, and he sold our place. So we had, and I had my trailer already built and ready to load my personal belongings on, and we left out of there. And it took us a whole month to get out of there. And lo and behold, it took us from the first Passover to the second Passover. That was a period of time that we had to get out of there. And we left Kermit on the day of the second Passover for the world. And keep in mind that the week of the first Passover, I had a conversation with Brother Johnson, and ask him to come and take Passover with us and throw in with us, because Yahweh has given the kingdom to us. And he said, well, I need 30 minutes to talk it over. He said, I'll call you back in 30 minutes. I need to talk it over with my wife. And he talked to her, and he called me back. He said, I just can't do it. He said, I can't do it. He said, so he gave me the reason why. And so from that point, after we had the first Passover, then we had all these things take place. We sold our business, all of our homes and businesses, and Alan got rid of his, he sold his home. He gave his home to his wife, because she was divorcing him, because she wasn't going to come with it. So anyway, he separated himself from all connections or incumbent. But then that 30 days, from the first Passover to the second Passover, Yahweh helped us to get everything dissolved. And so we didn't have no place to come to except, he told us to go to the Austin, Texas area. And so we, by faith, took off. And we went down the highway in a caravan. We traveled 400 miles and come to a place in Liberty Hill, Texas. And Yahweh told us this, the paper is on a Sunday, and there's nothing open. So we had to go try to find a place to camp, and we went to another town, found a Walmart parking lot, and we camped there for Sunday and Monday. And then we drove all over Austin for 2 days. It was Monday and Tuesday. We drove all over Austin looking for a place to live, and we couldn't find nothing. And so Yahweh told me we had a thing happen to us at where we were camped there on the Walmart parking lot, and the police was coming out there running people off of there, and they scared us up. And we packed our stuff up, and we headed back north, headed toward Liberty Hill, Texas. That's where Yahweh told me to go. He said, go back to where you came to. And so we cranked it up, and I led the way, and I was going to head for Highway 29. That was my marker. Then I was going to turn west on Highway 29, which was at Georgetown. And then Liberty Hill would be another 14, 15 miles. So I was going to go west 15 miles and end up back in Liberty Hill, where we came into at least 3 days earlier. And lo and behold, I was looking for my highway signs, and I took my eye for an instant off of the signs on the highway. And we came to a sign, and I didn't get to see the number. And I said, oh, this is my number. I'm about to pass it up. I said, I don't want to pass up my number, my highway. And I said, but I'm past the sign, but I still have time to make the exit. And so I just went ahead and made the exit, and it was the wrong exit. At least I thought it was. When I got on it, I realized I wasn't on Highway 29. I was on an exit 2243, which was a mile south of Highway 29. And I said, oh, well, we can go to Leander, which is about 12 miles away, 14 miles, or 12 miles, and cross here. And I said, then we can turn north on 183 and go another 5 miles, and we still come to Liberty Hill, Texas. So, but when we got to Leander, my wife's gas tank was sitting on empty. She was running on fumes. So she pulled in. She pulled into the gas station where we stopped and parked to get gas. And here comes this man driving up, and he's the man that we're written from to this day. And so, lo and behold, Yahweh sent us a man that gave us a place to live. And we praise Yahweh's holy name forever. Because it wasn't a mistake that I made. I didn't make the wrong turn. I made the right turn. But I thought I'd made the wrong turn. So the bottom line is, Yahweh is in charge every step of the way. Every mile of the way, He's in charge. And so that's the way we look at today. Let's continue on Matthew 24:22. It said, except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is the Messiah, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false messiahs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now it says immediately after those days. Well, we have entered into these days of tribulation. We are there now. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven. It says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And talking about all the tribes of the earth, not just 144,000, the 12 tribes. There's more than 12 tribes. There's many more than that. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the heaven with the power and great glory. Now, what are the days of tribulation for? The days of tribulation gets rid of the wicked. Yahshua comes invisibly, and he leads his great army. Mentioned right there in Joel chapter 2. And his great army, he uses to destroy all the wicked. And then after you get that all cleared out, then he appears in the clouds of heaven, and all the remnant of all the tribes of the earth, then they see him coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Because they've already come through their judgment, they have joined the kingdom here on earth. Matter of fact, they helped all the 144,000 Yahweh's great army to accomplish this feat. And now I'm going to go and turn to Zechariah 14. Let's see. Behold, the day of the Yahshua cometh. Zechariah 14:1. And thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth in captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Yahshua go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of the battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the mount of olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. And half the mountain shall be moved toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountain, for the valley of the mountain shall reach unto Azazel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of the Judah. And Yeshua, my Savior, shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known unto the Yahweh, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that the living waters shall go out from Yahweh. Salvation, in other words, is going to go. Now, isn't this amazing? You mean these people, after Yahweh clears up all the enemy, gets them all killed out, and then there's going to be living waters. The waters, the wells of salvation are going to start flowing east and west around and meet around the world. This is Ezekiel's 47 river, folks. This is the river of life. And what's the river of life for? It's to heal everything it touches, because those that have been born again are waiting for that healing water. Now they've got to have the healing waters go to them. Half of them toward the former sea, it says they should be in that day that living waters shall go out from the Jerusalem. Half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. Right here, you see, right here while probation is still open. Now he's gotten rid of all the enemies, got them all cleared out of the way. Then salvation won't be a hindrance, there won't be any hindrance to take salvation into all nations that have survived the tribulation time. And the Yahweh shall be king over all the earth, and in that day shall there be one Yeshua, and his name one. Huh. In other words, there's not going to be three gods, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? You mean that there's not three gods after all? That there's only going to be one? It says one Lord, and his name one. Well, I know Yeshua, his name is the name of the Father. And I do know that half of Yahshua's name, the last half, Yahshua, represents salvation of the Father. So Jesus don't really have no name of his own. He just has his Father name. Elijah didn't have no name of his own. He just had the Father's name, Eliyahu. The English translators, though, they demolished that Eliyahu, the two parts of the Father's name, and they give Elijah a name. They said, oh, no, you're not going to be called Eliyahu. You're going to be called by another identity. We're going to change that up and give you Elijah. But isn't that strange? E-L-I-Y-A-H or J-A-H, Jah. They just put Jah, the J in the place of the Y, and they give him the first part of the Father's name, Eli, J-A-H, put the Y in the place of the J, and you got the Father's name again. So, there you have it. Five letters, or no, six letters, you have Elijah. And seven letters, you have Eliyahu, the two parts of the Father's full name, so to speak. And it's amazing. Even though man tried to shorten it and change it up and give it a different identity, couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. All right. Zechariah 14. And the Yeshua shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Yeshua and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Ramon, south of Jerusalem. And it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate, and to the place of the first gate, and to the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel unto the king's wine presses. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction. But Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited, and it shall be the plague wherewith the Yeshua will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their holes shall consume away, or their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Yeshua shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also, this is the house of David, the purified house of David, also shall fight at Jerusalem. So, in other words, David is the focal point of attention here, because he represents the restoration of the palace upon the kingly palace ground in Jerusalem. And the wealth of the heathen around about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. Now notice it says the heathen has got all the gold and silver. In other words, they converted their phony paper money into gold and silver. And they're holding on to it. Yet they still go write checks with paper money. But they hold on to their gold and silver. And they still get credit for their paper money they spend. They're hoarding all this gold and silver. And Yahweh says, no, you don't. You're going to give that all up, because that's going to be the only way that you're going to have finances in these last days, is the gold and silver. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. It shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king, the Yeshua of the host, and to keep the feast of the tabernacle. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the king, the Yeshua of the host, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith Yeshua will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the feast of tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of the Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the feast of tabernacles. And that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses, talking about the leaders, the priests, holiness unto the Yahweh. And the pots of the Yeshua's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Yeshua of the host. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seethe therein. And in that day there shall be no more of the Canaanite in the house of the Yeshua of hosts. Let's go now and read from Joel chapter 1. It says, the word of the Yahweh came unto Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear ye this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Has this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children another generation. That which the palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left hath the canker worm eaten, and that which the canker worm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine. This is new doctrine, new truth, for it is cut off from your mouth. The new wine has been cut off from your mouth. That's what happened down at Sherman. The new wine came to us, the house of David, but it was cut off from the house of Esau. For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste, and burnt my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare, and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. Lament like a virgin, girded with a sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Yahweh. The priests, the Yahweh's ministers, mourn. The field is wasted. The land mourns, for the corn is wasted. The new wine is dried up. The oil languishes. Be ye ashamed, O you husbandmen. Howl, O you vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The wheat and the barley. You know what the barley represents? It represents the unleavened cakes at Passover time. It represents the first of the first fruits. It represents the vanguard. Okay. Because the harvest of the field is perished. For the vine is dried up, and the fig tree languishes, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Dead Yahshua at hand, gird yourselves and lament, ye priests, howl, ye ministers of the altar. Come, lie all night in the sackcloth, ye ministers of my Elohim, for the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your Elohim. Sanctify ye fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Yahweh your Elohim, and cry unto the Yahweh. Alas, For the day of the Yahshua is at hand, and as the destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Is not the meat cut off before our eyes? Yea, joy and gladness from the house of our Elohim. For the seed is rotten under their claws, and the garners are laid desolate. The barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. How do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed, because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate, O Yahweh. Unto thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures and the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of the waters are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. End of Joel chapter 1. Joel chapter 2. Yahweh's terrible judgment. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain, that all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Yahshua cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of the darkness and of the gloominess, a day of the clouds and of the thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountain. A great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even unto the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden, before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. For the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. like the noise of the chariots on the tops of the mountain. Shall they leap like the noise of a flame of fire that devours the stubble, as the strong people sit in the battle array? Before their face the people shall be much pain. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run up on the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shine. For the Yahweh and the Yahshua shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Yahshua is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Therefore also now, saith the Yahshua, turn ye even unto me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garment, and turn unto Yahshua, your Savior, your King, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering, unto the Yahshua, your Messiah? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Yahweh, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Yahweh, and give not thine heritage unto reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their Yahweh? Then will the Yahweh be jealous for his land, and pity his people. Yea, the Yahweh will answer and say unto his people. This is actually Yahshua talking here. The Yahshua will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hind part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill favor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Yahshua will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Yahshua your King, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. That took place in 2002 at the Passover Kermit, Texas. Brother Johnson preached that and prophesied it too. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with the wine and oil. And I will restore unto you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the pommel worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of Yahshua your King, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am Yahshua your King, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass after that I will pour out my spirit. That's Yahshua's spirit, which comes from the Father, upon all flesh, And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and young men shall see visions. And also upon your servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens, and in the earth blood and fire, and pillars of smoke. For the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Yeshua come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of Yeshua shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be delivered, as Yeshua has said, and in the remnant whom the Yeshua shall call. That ends chapter 2 of Joel. Chapter 3, judgments on Israel's enemy. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations, and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people, and have given a boy for an harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. Yea, and what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon? And all the coast of Palestine will ye render me a recompense, and if ye recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head, because ye have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant thing. For the children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have ye sold unto the Grecians, that ye might remove them far from their border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place where you have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head, and I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them unto the Sabaeans, and to the people far off, for the Yahweh hath spoken it. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war, wake up the mighty man, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Beat your plowshares and the swords, and your pruning hoofs and the spears. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Yahweh. Let the heathen be wakened and come up unto the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full, the fast overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Yahshua is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Yahshua also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Yeshua will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. The Yeshua will dwell in Zion. So shall ye know that I am the Yeshua, your Savior, your King, dwelling in the Zion, my holy mountain. Now here Yeshua is calling the Zion my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her any more. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with the milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with the waters. And a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Yeshua, that's the house of David. Same thing as Zechariah 13. Fountain opened unto the house of David for sin and uncleanness, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom, Seventh Day Adventist Church, Gilead Center, shall be a desolate wilderness, for the violence against the children of Judah, the house of David, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation, for I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed. For the Yeshua dwelleth in Zion. This brings the close of our study. This hour contest is at the 11th hour call. It's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close this service now with a song. Wonder of wonder, Charlotte, I've written. Let me tell you a story about a long time ago. Of the prophecy made for the future to unfold. About a man named Joshua who came to his own. To live and to die and to reign on his soul. Wonder of wonder in heaven I see. Heavenly light shining all around me. Glory of glory in heaven is found. Old merciless law from heaven come down. He was a man who walked among men. He shall deliver no matter of sin. He tests the hard things of men where they live. And the family judgment he had power to forgive. Wonder of wonder in heaven I see. Heavenly light shining all around me. Glory of glory in heaven is found. O matchless love from heaven come down. He taught the plan of salvation by faith. All mercy and full of grace. He paves the trail to glory you see. To the blood of the Lamb for the Calvary. Wonder of wonder in heaven I see. Heavenly light shining all around me. Glory of glory in heaven is found. Old matchless love from heaven come down.